Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website rickackerman.com. He's speaking to us from South Florida. Welcome back to the show, Rick.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you for inviting me on.
Are you happy with the way the stock market is behaving right now?
Happy? Not sure I would go that far. I think it's sick and sad, and I guess at some level it's an embarrassment to all civilization that it doesn't care really about anything except not even just Fed stimulus, but it cares about any mote of news that might bear on how much stimulating the Fed's going to be doing. And it's amazing how we can breeze through each quarter one after another with horrible earnings or disappointing earnings, and none of that really matters. That will have an impact on the markets for one day. But of course, just let some absurd, who cares, it's not even a real number statistic come out, such as the CPI or the payroll numbers or whatever that are just cooked to begin with, and the market is you can see the direction is up no matter what, but it's only the Fed that affects the market, and it's like I said, it's an embarrassment to civilization.
Is there any cure for that?
Oh, there is. That's why all us perma bears have been cheering for the second Great Depression to get here. That's the only reset that I think will be adequate to set things right.
So now they tell us that the jobless rate is still very low in both Canada and the U.S., that there are still millions of job vacancies in the U.S. despite massive layoffs from the high-tech companies. Are we getting a true picture with the statistics that they release?
Well, a true picture maybe of demand for labor in the lettuce fields in California. I don't know where all these unfilled jobs are. I can tell you that they're not in Silicon Valley where they're laying off, and they're not in some of the biggest companies in America, the big glorified ad agencies like Amazon, and Google, Facebook. So I don't understand the jobs picture. The numbers that they put out certainly are meaningless, at least to me. And, the real economy is on the skids.
How long before recession hits? By the way, the Bank of England just boosted its central bank rate 0.5% and they now predict there will be no recession in Britain, and their economy's really been pounded.
Well, we're in a pretty bad recession already if you just add up the little things like the closing of half the brick and mortar retail in America, the situation, Nordstrom's just shut down its two San Francisco stores, and this won't show up in the statistic really, but let's just say at the intuitive and the anecdotal level, this is a terrible thing. You know, San Francisco is on its way into the crapper, and I say that as someone who lived in the city for 22 years and really enjoyed it. But if you sort of play Nordstrom's downstream, and also if you visit Macy's and just see what kind of shape their stores are in, the vacancy, the already 40% commercial vacancy rate in San Francisco is going higher. But looking at a bigger picture, you know, you're gonna have key tenants vacating malls, and a huge problem for the REITs and the investors who've hung on with the I don't know what it is now, but a few years ago there were 144 malls that were considered Class A that generated quite a certain amount of revenue per square foot, but all these closings really portend the death of malls entirely. You know, they're all going to become zombies, and if you tie that to the fact that 2/3 of our economy is driven by consumption, a lot of brick and mortar consumption is closing. So, you know, does that figure into our quote unquote 3% GDP? I don't think so. Hmm.
And how does a little retailer compete with Amazon, where you can order a tube of toothpaste and it's at your door in an hour?
Yeah, it's true, and I won't deny that I haven't. I'm guilty myself. I just rather than take a trip down to Walgreens, I'll do exactly that. And Amazon is so smart about everything. You know, they've got this deal where if you have a toothpaste and a couple of those other small items, you can have them all combined and shipped out when they get it all together. And that was an obvious way they could achieve savings in mailing. So they operate brilliantly, and it's no wonder that they've come to dominate the retail landscape. But of course, we all know the day is coming when there won't be any stores. It'll just be Amazon.
Well, yes, we comparison shop online. You know, what do you offer price-wise? And Amazon doesn't always have the best price. And so we'll go to the particular store that does. But again, the little guys, how do they compete? And once all those small jobs are gone, and we know small business provides 70% roughly of the jobs in Canada and the U.S., when they're gone, what happens to those jobs? Where do those people go?
Yeah, and Amazon gives a lot of the small businesses that are still brick and mortar a chance to survive. They can sell through Amazon, but of course, more and more of their sales, they're somewhat cannibalizing themselves, these stores that merchandise through Amazon on Amazon's terms. And I guess it's good for the consumer that Amazon puts the screws to all the retailers as to... I had an offer. It was a sales pitch, an email for a company that made some nice looking linen shirts, and they were priced at amazing. They were priced around $15 a piece. They were just summer shirts, beach shirts, things like that. So when I finished the order and they gave me the total, it increased the amount from $30 worth of merchandise to $46. And then, of course, when I just quit the ordering process, I never got to bill pay to you know, the credit card number. And I just closed out the page. I got about 160 letters over the next few days from this company reminding me that I had not finished the transaction. And I sent them a note that said, look, I do so much of my shopping at Amazon that I'm not used to taxes, shipping, and there was actually an insurance charge for these shirts. I'm not used to things like that adding up to more than 50% of the price of the goods. So forget it. So I hit send, and naturally, this being the digital world, I got back a reply that said that I'd sent the reply to a no reply email. So, you know, I'm not going to waste any more time trying to tell them why they blew the sale, but they did.
Right. And, of course, we're all talking now about the threat of AI to jobs. How big of a threat do you think it is?
Well, yeah, you and I have talked about that a little bit. And AI is so, like, dumb as a fence post. It is so stupid. It's so absolutely without imagination that it's going to be a killer app. It's going to do away with all the lawyers who have even less imagination and less aptitude with respect to how they structure their sentences and write in good prose. They don't, you know. So AI, chatbots can already run circles around lawyers who churn out boilerplate all day, so they're history. And there's so many instances where you get written communications that require no imagination, no thought, just a little bit of factual knowledge that, yes, pretty much everybody who writes something is going to be out of business. I exclude myself. I look at what I've written, and I'm thinking, no machine will ever be able to do that. And I still believe that.
Yeah, if it takes something that has to do with knowledge of humans and how humans behave, would AI be able to just read psychology manuals and lectures and so on from universities and know how to do that?
Well, you know, an AI developer would say, well, it can mimic human feelings, and I think it can. You know, you can get it to churn out offensive prose or innocuous prose, whatever you want. You can get it to become more argumentative or whatever, but I would still say that that it doesn't pass the Turing test. You cannot sit me. If I were typing back and forth with a bot, I absolutely know that I could spot the ringer.
Right, and then would a bot get a joke or be able to write a joke that made you laugh, or would they just repeat previous jokes?
I hesitate to say this. I await proof, but I wouldn't think that a bot is capable of a really funny, original joke. Although, you know, there's some areas of humor, dark humor, obscure humor, and a bot might churn out something that is deliberately obscure that to some people might be funny. So when you talk about a bot sense of humor, it's kind of hard to pin it down.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, is the U.S. still facing a banking crisis?
Every day. You know, I'd say it's funny, but it's not going to end well. And, you know, we see the Fed sort of knocking off its possibilities here, its opportunities. When you take First Republic, for instance, and you put it in the hands of one of your too big to fail banks, well, you know, and you say, and this did it, you know, I think it was Morgan Stanley that took First Republic's business, and that was just the final headline. And I'd say they did, from a PR standpoint, a pretty good job. Here was the headline that said that Morgan has just taken over First Republic's assets, which we know are assets, right? We've got a negative number there. So that was it. No discussion closed on First Republic, but the figure that I read, and I guess it's anybody's guess, but supposedly there are 128 other banks that are in not much better shape than First Republic. So when there is no whack-a-mole in this game, when the Fed has to whack just two or three moles in a short period of time, the game is going to be up. So it's an open question, really, as to whether cascading regional bank failures are going to do us in, or just a bear market for that happens as they always do, out of the blue and for no apparent reason at that time.
On the CNN town hall, President Trump said if he was in charge right now, he'd let the country default at the end of the month. He said it's going to happen anyway. Do it now because it would just be a worse crisis in the future.
Good for him. I mean, you know, you can talk about it, and he did, but it's certainly not. You need a pronoun in that sentence. Like if you say, well, you know, you're just going to have to let the banks fail. When you say your YOU pronoun, that implies that someone's got to make that decision. Somebody's got to do it. So you're going to have to do this, or we. It's a matter of, well, who would do that? And I guess you'd have to get an unlikely collusion between the Federal Reserve, the Treasury, and Democrats and Republicans as well in order to make that happen. So it's pretty safe to say it ain't happening. But it's a good idea. It's going to happen anyway. We're just not going to will it to happen so that it happens on our good time.
So do they solve the debt ceiling crisis by June 1st when Janet Yellen says the U.S. government's out of money?
I just can't understand how that story somehow gets airplay every year. You know, I mean, is the government going to shut down? And even ostensibly responsible news outlets like the Wall Street Journal or whoever, they talk about this default, the government's not going to be able to operate, like it's anything other than a joke. You know, I mean, we're not defaulting, and there'll be the usual political cover over when the time comes. But all we read about right now is how far apart the two sides are and this and that. And, you know, and we sort of, nobody even mentions that Biden is looking at a budget that would jack, you know, go another $1.5 trillion into deficit. So anyway, I think the whole, all this talk about the government might have to shut down, when you hear it from someone like Janet Yellen, you know it's just a joke.
Well, the last time this happened, about the only serious consequence, they said, was people couldn't tour the Statue of Liberty anymore because the park rangers weren't on duty.
Yeah, and they make a big show of that, you know, about how, look, the national parks are shut down and this and that, but somehow we've gotten through it, haven't we?
Well, I was going to say the animals in the parks are probably happy without a lot of humans traipsing around. And I remember with the COVID lockdown, and when it initially happened, wildlife was back in the city within weeks. We had deer running around downtown Vancouver.
Well, there's no question that you could get a huge majority, Democrats and Republicans, to agree on one thing, that if we're going to have to shut everything down when there's no quote unquote budget, let's start in Washington, D.C. You know, we certainly notice when the national parks shut down because they're a great resource. But anything that happens in Washington is not only a great resource; it's a handicap. It's like a shovel in the kneecap, really. And so, I think a lot of people would be in favor of just shutting down Washington D.C. It's like you tell everybody to just go home, and if they don't take you seriously, you put up roadblocks on all the bridges, you know. And I think that you know, we could get to enjoying that after a couple weeks.
Well, it seems to me most of the things that you rely on are done by your city and your state and or province. Apart from national defense. But in the U.S., you even have the National Guard, which is state run.
Uh-huh. Right. I mean, we'd have a sit down strike in the Ukraine or something, but seriously, if you shut down everything that happens in Washington, D.C., or everything which Washington commands and controls, it's a great day for America, really. It's morning again.
What's going on with gold?
Well, gold is pretty sickening overall. It's in a bull market, but it is so frustrating because it's not a bull market that's appreciated by anyone but gold bulls at this point. You know, you've had inveterate gold bugs who've been at it, faithful for the last 100 years or however long they've been around. And so gold, the bad guys can only squash it now for a day or two. That's about as much satisfaction as they get. It pushes gold prices down so that gold shorted mostly on paper is cheaper to replace. So that's the way the bullion bankers play the game. But so all I can say is it's in a bear market, and however much they, the capital T, attempt to squash it, it's just going to keep higher. But it's in it's only being exchanged now. The trading is done mostly by just gold bulls in a big circle jerk, I guess is how I would put it.
Now, I saw a report that said inflation right now isn't due to the supply chain. Those problems have been fixed. It's now just pure gouging. Any thoughts on that?
That's interesting. You know, I get that suspicion myself that a lot of merchants under cover of everything's going up have really, they've taken advantage with the vengeance. And, you know, you can see it on the store shelves in Whole Foods and places like that. It's like, do I really need to pay, $11 for a dozen eggs? So yeah, it was really across the board. It was like when we had the declaration of intractable or horrendous inflation at the macro level, it was in the newspapers and everybody was believing it. Everybody with something to sell kind of went for it. But let me remind you, Rick's Picks hasn't raised its price in 20 years. No, actually, one price raise in 20 years, but that was before COVID, and it was a relatively small increase. So. So anyway, I don't know where it stops because it seems like the pricing power that consumers had that was always taken for granted for some reason doesn't exist. I guess it's because the inflators they're on the offensive right now.
Well, of course, they're just seeing how much will people put up with. And I guess until we hit the streets with torches and pitchforks, the gouging is going to continue.
Yeah, and they've drastically, in their imaginations, they've overestimated how much the public will take because everybody has continued to buy the necessities, milk, butter, and eggs, and the merchants are getting away with it, but they don't understand that a lot of people are pushed right now to a threshold where it's going to be either food or a roof over their heads. You know, when we get when everything, the only way we're going to deflate really is in a general debt deflation where it's not just merely disinflation, it's a killer collapse. So that's when prices will start coming down and landlords will be more appreciative of tenants who can cough up the rent every month, just as grocers will be to have people come in and pay something more reasonable, $3 or $4 for those dozen eggs. So they'll continue to get away with it, but they don't really see the end game here, which is not going to be good for anybody who sells even the necessities.
Rick, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Let me think. No, I guess, you know, what we've talked about is probably enough to keep an eye on for the time being. I would say just make your weekends count and have a relaxing weekend. Otherwise, when Monday comes, you're going to be already socked in.
And make sure you book your Mother's Day brunch now, because if you just show up, the place is going to be packed.
Yeah, also true. We are definitely in Mother's Day season now, and I know when you check the local events in all the towns down here in South Florida, all of them are properly related to Mother's Day. So to all you mothers out there, you enjoy your day, and wish you sunny weather.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.